Have you ever thought of camping as therapy, or more specifically, as an antidote to divorce woes? What about visiting a park to find love? Do you have a special secret place outdoors where you go to get away from the hectic stress of the busy world and to find solitude and peace? Whitewater State Park in Minnesota has provided countless visitors with these sorts of experiences. Whitewater State Park is one of 75 state parks in Minnesota, each with a rich history. Stick around for our podcast to learn more about this special place. Hello, I'm Sarah Holger, an interpretive naturalist at Whitewater State Park. Since 1919, Whitewater State Park has been providing exceptional outdoor experiences for families, youngsters, and people of all ages. During the summer of 2017, I, along with a team of volunteers, gathered stories from park visitors and local residents about their memories of this special place. The stories we collected have been woven together to create this podcast series. I invite you to sit back and relax as you listen to this edition of Whitewater Stories.
Actually, discovery of Whitewater, one of the great discoveries of my life, actually got a job down at the Rochester Post Bulletin. I began in November of 75. My wife, Debbie, who's from the cities, I met her at a lake near Brainerd, and so we were lakes people. And then we came down to Rochester and looked around and went, what is this? What did we get ourselves into? And then Gordy Yeager, who was the outdoor writer at the time, said, just head east on 14 and hit 74, take a left. Okay, we did. I remember Debbie and I drove, and we all of a sudden, you know, wow, this is a neat place. And I slowly fell in love with the Blufflands, mostly through my first look at Whitewater. But I just was kind of enthralled by this land, and I found I enjoyed moving water more than, because lakes sit there. Moving water is always jumping around, and it's doing something crazy to you, and I really fell in love. And I like the Bluffs. I really fell in love with the Bluffs. I like going back to Brainerd, of course, and the lakes, but the Bluffs are where I call home now.
That was John Weiss, a journalist and fan of Whitewater State Park, describing what he felt when he first discovered the park back in 1975. One of John's favorite whitewater activities is fishing. Trout fishing is very popular at Whitewater, as Arash Shambayadi explains. How long have you been coming to Whitewater?
It's been at least 20 years. I came here with my cousin and my best friend, both of whom came also from Iran, and we all went to school at Hamline together, and we came to go fishing.
Okay, well, what was your early impression of this park?
No mosquitoes.
Yeah.
That was a bonus, and fishing was ridiculously good. We used small bobbers and small hooks and live bait, usually either trout worms or in the winter time. We come here a lot during the winter too, wax worms, and they love them. And in the springtime for opener, there's what they call water worms, and trout go crazy for them here. So if their water worms are in season, fishing is always good. So we're here, you know, once or twice a month.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So after the flood of 2007, what were some big changes you noticed around the park?
Well, a lot of the holes were gone.
Yeah.
The fishing holes were gone. But, you know, there was still good fishing.
Carol Riska also remembers the 2007 flood. She was camping with her family when the flood hit.
My daughter and I were playing games. The grandchild is sleeping, and the couple that was with us were sleeping in the tent.
Okay.
And so we were just the two of us up playing our games. And somebody came knocking on the camper, and he says, you have to evacuate. We're evacuating the park. I said, do we have time to pack up the camper? He said, I don't know. He says, that's my answer. So I said, we have to leave now. And we took off in the two cars. We left the camper. We live in Rolling Stone. It was like driving through a snowstorm because it was raining that hard. We came back the next day just to see. We couldn't get a car in, so we parked by the visitor center and walked in. But we had to leave the camper. It was 2 weeks before I got the camper out. And I had to go around the signs that said, road closed.
And you still continue to come back and camp even after that?
Oh, yeah.
I like this place. I like the activities especially.
Whitewater State Park is a popular spot for the Boy Scouts to experience camping firsthand. Kurt Buck remembers coming to the park as a youth in the 1960s.
I was a Boy Scout in Rochester growing up, and every spring for my time in Boy Scouting, spring camporee was at the Whitewater State Park. And in the early to mid-60s, Boy Scouting was a big deal in Rochester. So spring camporee, there would be 500-600 Boy Scouts camped here for the weekend. We camped in the woods along the river here. Saturday was just camporee stuff, did activities all over the park. But on Sunday morning, everybody massed on the road, so there'd be 500 Boy Scouts, full uniform, big color guard, all the flags in front, and we'd march to the golf course. The meadow was a golf course then, and they'd have a stand set there. We'd have flag ceremony. It was just peachy. It was cool to see all those kids there for flag ceremony. And then one year we were camped here, and on Saturday night a huge storm came through. A storm such that it was tipping over picnic tables.
Okay.
And there were 500 very wet Boy Scouts with tents all flat, and everybody's tents were blown down because they were old canvas wall tents is what we had then. The next morning, 8 o'clock, we were all at flag ceremony at the golf course in full uniform.
Each year, thousands of boys and girls from near and far experience the wonder and beauty of Whitewater State Park by participating in various youth camps held at the park. Local resident Sage Grover first participated in regional 4-H camp as a third grader back in 2008. After participating as a camper for 7 years, she became a camp counselor in 2015. Some of Sage's favorite camp memories are...
probably, like, walking across that bridge that's in the meadow, like, when it's at nighttime and it's, like, really foggy and there's fireflies.
And her first year at camp as a camper when there was a severe thunderstorm.
It was really bad, like, tornado warnings, and we had to go into the bathrooms. And we were in there for, like, 2 hours, and we had, like, a little talent show in there because they just wanted to keep us distracted, so.
And even though there was 1 year as a camper when she faked sick so she could go home early, Sage recognizes the valuable life skills she has learned through her camp experiences and by being a camp counselor.
You have to rely on each other. Like, the teaching sessions, you know, you might learn one thing, and you have to trust that the other person's going to hold up their end of it and be able to teach what they're supposed to be doing, so you have to trust that, and you have to you rely on each other, even just in the cabins, like with the campers, taking care of them, you know. If one person needs to step out for a little bit, you need to be able to rely on the other person to help. You learn, I guess, yeah, just in general, how to be a leader, how to step up and take charge when something needs to get done, or just how to teach other people.
Youth camps aren't the only ones who have made camping at Whitewater a tradition. The tradition flows through Minnesota families, like Jesse Rohrabaugh's.
Awesome. We usually reserve the same sites in that cove after you go over the bridge.
Yeah,
and take a right.
Gooseberry Campground.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Wet tents, you got to dry everything out, go to the laundromat. I remember the year it just totally flooded and you couldn't camp at all. We have... washer boards instead of like bag toss.
Uh-huh.
You got washer boards made out of kind of the same thing. You just lay them on the ground. You got a string in between them.
Okay.
And you got three holes, and each hole is different points. You got washers that are like that
huge.
Big. And so you got to throw them and slide them down the board to try to get them in a hole.
Oh,
it's kind of
cool.
like a skee ball.
Yeah.
We started to turn them in out of the hole. Playing washers, so.
So do you have, like, a grand prize for the tournament winner then, or what do you...
It is. It's wearing a presidential hat. it's Uncle Sam's hat.
Oh, funny. That's
that,
cool.
That you get to wear, and you get to take a picture with Bev, who bought the hat.
Oh, how cool is that?
Been coming here for so long, it's just an annual thing.
Right.
Just
tradition.
Everything about it. Just a great place, good people, good friendly people.
Nice.
You got Elba, nice town. You got the St. Charles fireworks,
yeah.
That's a pretty good show.
Do you guys come usually around 4th of July every year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 4th of July weekend.
Biological and created families find Whitewater to be a serene place to reconnect and enjoy each other's company. like the group that Andrea Richards put together.
Our adventure has been over the last 25 years, and we consider ourselves family. So our family has grown when three gals from work decided to take their kiddos camping way back 25 years ago. 1992 was the year, and we had three friends who were struggling with marriages at the time and deciding that we were not going to let our kids know the difference. So what we did was say, we're going to have an experience that we can have every year that our families look forward to, and we don't need the men to do it.
And as their kids grew, the traditions blossomed.
So as we all got older and got married, and our husbands would have to be buried in the sand, and then our kids, and so on and on, everyone basically gets initiated to Whitewater State Park by having to be buried in the sand. Another thing that we would do down at the beach, I remember with my sister Ashley, we'd play volleyball, you know, back and forth, but the thing that we would do all together as a kids group would be to swim from one side of the river to the other side, to the bank. And we always thought that was so cool because no one else was brave enough to do that, because it just seemed, I don't know, too scary over on that other side, because you just didn't know what was lurking under the murky waters over there.
One of my favorite memories down at the beach is that everyone lines up in a long straight line, no matter what the age, from
hand
the
in
youngest
hand.
To the oldest, yes, hand in hand, and then we count to three and everyone has to run in all the way and get wet.
The race to the buoys.
Yep. As we got going with our years through camping, our goal was to pitch tents as quickly as possible and how soon can we get down to the beach. And we brought the bicycles and the kids began riding their bicycles down, and we would be saying, get the hammer, please. We need the, where'd they go? And everybody was down at the beach already. We'd look at each other like, okay, let's get this done so we can go too.
It's not just traditions with kids that make Whitewater so special. Love blooms here too, like it did for Steve and Diane Harrison.
I've been coming since early, 10, 11 years old probably. I have relatives that farm near St. Charles, so I would spend 2-3 weeks or a month with them in the summertime helping farm, and we'd come over and use the beach and the hiking trails and chase girls. And then I started chasing this one.
I started coming camping with my family when I was probably about 8 years old.
When we were dating in the 60s, she would come over camping with her family. They had a Honda 90, little trail Honda 90, and I had one. So I'd haul mine over here during the day and we'd ride up to the fire tower. Then I'd have to go back home at night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come over the next day.
We actually went to prom together, and then we came over here after prom because it's one of our favorite places. This has been a lifelong favorite for us, you know. The hiking is what brings us here.
Yeah.
We had a trailer as a young family too and brought our kids over and camped, and consequently our kids have come here and camped too.
Steve and Diane aren't the only ones who found love at the park. Natalie Aaron and her husband found Whitewater to be the perfect wedding spot.
Moved to Rochester when I was 5. Grew up in Rochester, visiting Whitewater State Park, you know, pretty much since I was a kid, going hiking. My brother spent a lot of time fishing there. My now husband spent a lot of time as a kid hiking there, driving through Elba on their way to the Mississippi River to go fishing and to visit their houseboat. So it was just kind of a place that we both had a common interest in.
So did you start talking about Whitewater as a possible site?
We started talking about it within like that first month.
Oh, awesome.
It was amazing. So we got there a few days early. People kind of settled into their cabins, and we had a nice bonfire groom's dinner at the Modern Group camp there. We grilled burgers and salmon. And then the next morning, I got ready at a friend's house who lives right behind Lazy D Campground. And then we used one of the cabins to kind of stage in before we walked out, set our wedding ceremony up under the oak trees there at the far end of the group camp, and had probably one of the most beautiful ceremonies I think like 100% of our guests had ever experienced based on their review of our wedding.
And then we ended the night with another big bonfire. There was lots of guests that had never been to Whitewater or Minnesota State Parks because we had family from California, we had family from Alaska, we had family from Iowa and Wisconsin. And then, of course, we got to hear all those stories like, I haven't been here since I was a kid, or I was here 15 years ago. One of the best stories we heard was from a friend of Andy's mother who was there for a Girl Scout camp, and they got snowed in and they got stuck there for like 3 days, and it was like the best experience of her entire life.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. But that's neat though that your wedding like inspired hopefully people to want to get
out. Oh yeah, like everybody I talked to was like, I had no idea this was here. I had no idea it was so beautiful. I'm going to spend more time camping and hiking and fishing here.
Visitors young and old agree that Whitewater is a special place to be preserved for future generations. Even the littlest of visitors, like
Jake Austin Hogan,
who is age
3 years old,
conveyed this sentiment when asked why he thinks Whitewater State Park is so fun.
Because it just is.
In its 100 years serving the community, visiting Whitewater State Park has become a tradition where people find love, joy, and serenity. It's no surprise that they want to keep this gem to themselves. Again, frequent visitor Arash.
So if you were talking to somebody who'd never been to Whitewater State Park before, you know, what would you tell them as to why they should come here?
Oh, I'd tell them it's a horrible place not to go. I'd tell them, you know, try any of the other parks in Minnesota.
Because you want to keep it your own secret little.
Absolutely. I would not. I would really be hesitant in encouraging other people to come here. I really like this for myself.
Thank you for joining me for this edition of Whitewater Stories. From all of the staff at Whitewater State Park, we hope to see you in the park.